Welcome to this week's podcast of Breakthrough Church from Bayswater in Melbourne, Australia. For more details and further resources, visit breakthrough.org.au. We hope you enjoy today's message.
We've been talking about covenant, the provision that God makes to come into agreement with us and what a covenant is. And please, I encourage you to go back and listen to the messages that we have online. You go to the breakthrough.org.au, into our media area, and you can look through. It all comes under our Big Thinkers League, because the covenant is about expanding our understanding and our thinking. And there's a number of messages that explain so much about covenant that I can't bring in a moment here. But I just want to give you one scripture from the book of Deuteronomy, which says that God is a covenant God. It says, knowing therefore that the Lord, this is Deuteronomy 7, 9, know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. So God is a God of covenant, who keeps covenant. It flows out of him, and covenant is a connecting together of two through vows and through promises and through an intertwining together. And often there's a ceremony, and we've gone through the ceremony and shared some of the things I did. There's an exchange, there's the cut, there's blood flowing, and all these things represent different aspects of the covenant. But covenants are not just a Bible thing, they're just not something that God did, but covenants are known throughout the earth as people intertwine their lives. And God sets and establishes covenants with us. And we are enjoying what Jesus said is the new covenant. He said when he sat down with his disciples just before he was about to be taken to the cross, and he sat down and they're sharing the meal, and he said, this cup is the new covenant that's in my blood. This is a new covenant. And the paraphrase I put on this is, this, I am establishing a brand new relationship between man and God, with a new set of rules and a new set of promises. This is being established. God is committing to this so that you can have absolute assurance, and it is being paid for and established in my blood. It's not going to be something that's in the blood of a bull or the blood of a goat. It's my blood that's establishing this covenant. So it's the most solemn covenant, and it's also a paid for covenant. Paid for covenant. Has anyone ever gone to a restaurant or something like that and paid for a certain package and did not realize that there were certain elements that were part of it and you didn't have them? Like, they come at the end and say, do you want tea or coffee? And you think, oh, we've spent a lot tonight already. And, you know, we did the package deal, you know, which was a little bit more than we were thinking. So we will skip the tea and coffee at the end because we don't want to now add any more costs. And then suddenly, you know, everyone else around having tea and coffee, and you find out when you go home, guess what? Tea and coffee included in the package. And so you've been feeling like, oh, what a good little boy am I. I'm holding back and I'm not spending. And it was all free. So you could have had three coffees and it was all just part of the deal. I remember once there was a man, I read a book, and he went, this is many years ago, went on an ocean liner, and it took all his money to buy the ticket to get over to where he's going. And when he got over there, he said he was just so hungry, you know, he'd been, you know, because he just couldn't afford the food. And then his friend said, your ticket was all meals included. You had bought a not just a trip, but you could go to the gallery, you go to the galley, and you could get food there, and it was included. So he'd gone hungry because he didn't know the provision has been made. And in the covenant, provision has been made. There has been provision made in our covenant. God has made, and he has paid for it. This is not just something like you say, well, I'd like this, I want this. God says, oh, no, it's all prepaid. I have actually not tried to do this on the cheap, or just sort of set up something which is symbolic. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not just a symbolic covenant where you can have what you want. He said, no, I've actually legally bought and purchased the things in the covenant. Your prosperity had to be purchased. Your blessing had to be purchased. First of all, God had to deal with the debt we had in sin, our stain on our lives. He had to deal with that, pay for it, One of the phrases that talks about what the blood did, it was to redeem us, to pay for us and buy us back out of the slavery that we were in. So we were a messed up people, and God said, well, first of all, I've got to buy you out. I've got to pay for you. I've got to get you out of your mess. All right? When you marry someone, you actually marry them and their debts. And so you say, now it's our debt. And God said, well, I'll sort that and I'll pay for that. And so he had to pay for our debts, deal with our sin, and then also bring us into a place of prosperity and life. And he said, I've paid for that. I've not just paid you to bring you back to zero, but I've paid for you to be in a prosperous situation, to know health and healing and wholeness. I've had to do that. And he has done it legally in the sense that it's been established. Some people feel that healing is something that God wakes up in the morning and says, will I or won't I? Who gets on the list of my healing blessing? Do you know what I mean? I'll look across, you know, maybe I'll do every second, you know, letter. If your first name starts with a vowel, then you're healed today. You know, God sort of has this sort of like, I'll do random, I pull a name, you know, the angels get up in the morning and they pull names out of a barrel and say, here's, who's going to get healed today? And that type of mindset that God has, you know, he just sort of randomly picks things and people just sort of get it. Sometimes that happens because people see things, they see blessings, but they don't understand how it works. And so they sort of feel it's just random. You know, you just don't understand how it all works. When I was growing up, I didn't understand how music worked. You know, that's amazing. I've got, you know, my kids have got music. They did not get it from me. I'm guessing that Christine, but my family had music. It just sort of skipped a little bit. I've got some music, but it wasn't natural. I could not work out. I didn't understand how beats worked. I hear music, but I didn't hear a beat. You know, the most amazing thing for me was when Caleb was a primary school student, was asked to do something at this school play thing, and they had played music, and he had to he kept the beat for the whole band, you know, for the whole thing. And I'm like, how do you do that? You know, like an internal, what's it, a metronome? You know, internal, you know, he's got this internal metronome, tick, tick, tick. And I'm like, if I did that, tick, 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 you know, just up, down, you know, everybody's heartbeat would go, oh, stop it. When I was young, people say clap along. I didn't know how that worked because I couldn't hear a beat. So I'd look around and it was just all random to me. Just seemed like everybody, you know, I couldn't, you know, how do you do that? I can still remember they said, oh, clap along. I'm like, to what? I can't hear the beat. I just heard music, but I couldn't hear a beat. It's a weird thing, isn't it? It is, it's strange. That's why I'm a preacher, not a worship leader. But I couldn't, now I can, and thank God for that. But I didn't understand that. You know, I remember I used to dance with people. I didn't dance to the beat. I just jumped. You know? So everybody would be dancing to the beat except one guy in the middle all over the place. And one day I thought, hey, they're all doing it at the same time. I just didn't. Hey, there's a secret here. Start to hear a beat. All right. But so to me, it was just like noise. But to other people, you could see clearly there's a rhythm. All right. Some people don't see the rhythm of healing. They just think it's just noise. They don't know how healing works. That person gets healed, that person gets healed, that person gets healed. They don't understand. So they think it's just a random thing. They don't realize, no, there's a rhythm, there's a purpose, and there's a plan. It's not just random, but to people it can look random. And I understand that. It's a little, you know, like sometimes like someone, you can have people that are great men, and people think that healing happens to people that deserve it. Pure, innocent people deserve healing. Wicked people don't deserve healing. People that are good, nice, deserve healing. People that have been serving the Lord for many years deserve healing. People that are sinners and you know, reprobates and terrible people, well, they should wait a bit longer. But how many know sometimes how does this beat thing work? You've got a great man of God that dies, and you've got some lousy sinner that gets healed. You've got innocent children, they haven't even had a chance to really sin. they've been born as sinners because of the sins of their parents, you know, the sins of mankind, but they're only innocent, and babies die. And sometimes, and I know people don't understand the rhythm, because sometimes when you hear how people ask for prayer, tells you they're confused what is the way to get prayer. And you can sometimes hear it in people's prayers themselves. Oh God, this is a good man. Please don't let him die. That says that God, you'll look more favorably because he's a good person. You know, God wants to heal everybody. And it's on a provision. So if you don't understand, so you might laugh at me saying, how does he not know how to clap? But maybe you don't know how to clap the healing. And you know, all this time you're saying, you mean there's a rhythm? I just thought it was random. I thought anybody could get healed or nobody could get healed. I don't understand how it happens. But there is a plan and a purpose. And there's a will of God and a desire of God for people to be healed. And if you just feel that it's sort of a random thing that God just wakes up in the morning and says, I think I will and I think I won't. And then you sort of, your job is to convince him to put you on the list. If you feel your job is to get you, or maybe you're praying for this, so baby, that's easy, Lord. We'll pump the innocence. God, this is an innocent child with a great future, and the parents are so sad. Or, you know, and some people think, oh, no, we got to pump it with emotion. Oh, God, this child is dying. See, and because, you know, I'm showing you how serious it is by the level of my prayer. Some people think, you know, prayer is heard by the volume. And you say, well, should I shout for? Should I keep my prayers quiet? I didn't say God hears loud or quiet. That's not necessarily what he's listening for. But I'll tell you what, sometimes you need to shout for you. Sometimes I shout for the devil because I get mad with him. Sometimes I shout just out of sheer emotion. But I'm not so foolish to think that my shouting is what got God's attention. He didn't go, oh, you're really shouting loud. But, you know, you must be really serious. Or some people pray, oh God, I was praying about this, but now it's getting closer to the date, the deadline. This is getting serious now. Time pressure will move God. You know what I mean? God, I know you didn't hear me when I prayed when there was a month ago, but there's only one day to go now, so you're going to hear me. And some people think that God is moved by time pressure. Oh God, where is getting, that surgery's booked for tomorrow. You've got to work now. And it's like, oh, but why couldn't he work it 30 days ago? Well, it wasn't as serious. He waits. You know, God's, you know, oh, yeah, this is serious. I'll step in. He doesn't step in for more serious, because how many know that doesn't work? You know, sometimes you wait and then you have your surgery and you say, what happened to God? Things that you count as serious, things that you count as important, innocence and goodness, they're not all the things that are the rhythms of healing. God makes provision outside of those things and asks us to step in. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't be aware of those time things, but I'm just saying, think about what moves God. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, he said, in fact, let's look at it so I quote it properly and you can see it with your own eyes if you have a Bible. If you don't, just steal the person next to you. How could they complain? Yes, I just need it. Matthew 6. Verse 5 says, when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. All right? Just always be careful about getting your reward now when God wants you to get it later. You know? I remember there's a preacher said, you know, he got up very early one morning, he's been spending a lot of time in prayer, so he made sure in his message he just let people know. You know, I was up since 3 a.m. praying. He didn't need to, but, you know, there's something good in the soul. And as he did that, the Lord said, you just got your reward. In other words, what the people give you, that's it. You're not getting my reward anymore. You've chosen to get their reward. Because you've now tried to get a reward that's outside of what God. I've always listened to that and thought, wow. So I don't want to tell you what time I got up to pray this morning. My humility prevents me. When you pray, verse 5, you're not to be like the hypocrites, because that's how they get the reward. Verse 6, but you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do. Now listen to this. For they suppose they will be heard for their many words. In other words, they had an idea that said, this is what God looks for in prayer. All right? So, you know, some people misunderstand getting in agreement for many words. God doesn't, you know, when we send out a prayer request, it's not because we need more words to get God's attention. You know, it's like, God, there's 1,000 people praying. It's like those surveys they do on internet. Oh, man, look at the numbers. God says, we better do something. There's 14,756 people now praying. Oh, have you ever been a part of a prayer chain that's like, let's get the numbers up because God will be impressed by the numbers. Or I better pray longer. You know, this doesn't need a 2-minute prayer. I'm going to give God a 20-minute prayer. I'm going to give God a 2-hour prayer. I'm going to pray and fast for 3 days. Because if you add fasting, wow, that's a winner with heaven. Bible says somewhere, I know it says, God will do whatever I say when I fast. Because he's like so impressed with me. I'm not actually not even eating for this situation. You know, so it says they suppose they will be heard because of this. That's a powerful thing to learn, that you are not heard for everything you suppose moves the hand of God. Challenges the heart of God. And God's like, whoa. So one of the aims I've had is to find out what actually does move the heart of God. Because the things I'm impressed with are not the things that always impress God. All right? The things that make me. So you come to me and you share how serious the situation is. My heart goes out to you. So I think, well, that must be how God. I would do it. I would do it. And I just always presume, well, that's how God will work. You know, so if I can say, God, look how serious this is. So we've got to be aware that what moves us doesn't always move God. But what God wants us to do is find out the things that he has made provision for. So we're not working at odds with him and trying to convince him to do something. He's like, it's like the guy who goes on the ship and he walks around and around saying, I'm so hungry. So hungry. The stomach pangs. Oh, just a little portion would be enough, but I'm so hungry. That's not going to move them. You know what moves them? You've got a ticket that says meals paid for. You don't need to walk around. I'm so hungry. Oh, I'm so hungry. What you need to do is take your ticket, walk to the door that says food in here, show them your ticket, and just take whatever you want. You don't have to even be hungry to get that ticket. You can get it just whenever. You can be, you know, this is one of the things. I don't want people to give when there's a need, because I don't want us just to respond to when there's a problem, because I sometimes give into an overflow. I give in when there's excess. I'm not tying it into when there's a problem. I'm saying this is just a normal part. I don't just receive money when I have a need. I receive money when God's been good to me. I don't just receive health when I'm sick. I receive health when I'm well. I receive God's blessing that keeps sickness off me. You know what I mean? I'm healthy. You know, he wake up in the morning and say, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And the devil's like, we haven't even done nothing. What? And he says, yeah, and that's just be a warning to you. This is a healed body. Don't even think about it. You know, that we don't have to be just working out of the need. So what is it that God is looking for? And so one of the things that did that changed this whole thing for me was a sermon by Pastor Ricky, Christine's father, my father-in-law. That's because we're married, if anyone's trying to work, let's do the sums. Okay. I can still remember coming to church many, many years ago, and he turning in the Bible to Isaiah 53 and changing my view of how healing comes. From I couldn't hear the clap till after that meeting, I heard the rhythm of how healing works. It went from it's just all noise and I don't make sense of it to there's a pattern and something I can see and understand. It's like that, you know, it's like when they do those signal things, the ultrasounds. You know, they've got computer programs that take sense of it. It's lots of noise. It removes the noise and gives clarity. And you can see what's happening. But without those programs, it's just noise. Just a lot of stuff. And he removed the noise and gave me the ability to see. So let's go to Isaiah 53. And I'm going to give you the benefit of what he shared with me. We're not going to take a long time. We'll continue this at other times. But Isaiah 53, I want you to enjoy what he gave to me, which was an understanding that healing is not something which was an extra we had to beg for, a provision we had to chase down, something we had to convince God. I think this is a good idea to heal me or heal you or whatever. So if you come to me and you've got a sore ankle and you say, you know, we need to convince God, oh Lord, Lord, I pray for this ankle. This person works on their feet. They got to be. If they can't walk, Lord, they can't get a job. And if you know they can't do their job, and it's like I've got to convince God this is a good idea. And Lord, this person's been a member of this church for 20 years, and they're a faithful person. I've got to convince God this is a worthy cause. This is, oh Lord, and they're in a lot of pain. Oh Lord. We've got to do this. Oh, Lord, and if it doesn't get fixed, they've got to get surgery. They just told me they've got to get surgery, and it's going to be expensive. Lord, this is a big need. Do you say? And I'm thinking all these things. I don't do that anymore. I understand the need, but I don't need to convince God. I don't need to find out whether you're on the list or not. Because Isaiah 53 says, everyone who's entered into the covenant with Jesus has automatically received a ticket of healing. Because he purchased it with the purchase of our salvation. It came with the process of salvation. If you are saved and healed, it has been made and been provided. Now, this also works for people that are not saved, in the sense I never, ever look at a sinner who comes and says, can I get saved? And I say, I don't know, maybe you're not on the list. You know, we don't have a list for who's going to get forgiven today. We don't sort of say, well, I don't know. There's this, you know, every midnight there's an angel's draw. And can I just say something? Yeah, angel lotto. Angel lotto. And guess what? Your name was pulled out, but then there was some person, some poor, starving, hungry person who was in real need, and they said, well, their need was bigger than yours, so they put your name back and exchanged, you know. We don't do that with forgiveness. How can we be so confident? How can we look someone in the eye and say, Jesus will forgive you? Because we understand that everybody had their forgiveness paid for. But, and the moment that when Jesus was paying for our forgiveness from our sin, he was also paying for the healing of our body. So Isaiah 53 talks about, in a prophetic vision of the Messiah. And if we can put the verse up, Isaiah 53, I want to read it from this particular translation. And it says, he, talking about Jesus, the Messiah, the one coming, Jesus, he was despised. It talks in past tense, even though this was many years before this happened. Isaiah is seeing ahead and he's describing it. And it says, he was despised and rejected by people. One who experienced pain and was acquainted with illness. People hid their faces from him. He was despised and we considered him insignificant. Now the reason I read it in that translation is my translation actually said he was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. It uses the word of sorrow. But if actually, I'm going to save you the time that I've taken to look into the actual Hebrew language, and there's many other translations that translate that. Sorrows and pains is the essence of it. Griefs and emotional sorrow is not what it's really talking about. It's talking about you are physically unwell. And it says, let's go to verse 4. And then it says, but he lifted up our illnesses. He carried our pain, even though we thought he was being punished, attacked by God, and afflicted for something he had done. In other words, he was carrying, this is a picture of Jesus on the cross, sicknesses and pains that were not his. This was not just carrying the emotional healing, the sin sickness. He was actually carrying physical sickness. How do I know, how can I be so confident that he was talking in this passage about physical healing and not just maybe emotional healing? Because when I say God wants to heal you, that can mean two things. He wants to make you well inside, and it can mean he wants to heal your body. Because when Jesus was on the earth, doing the will of the Father, reflecting the very heartbeat of God to mankind, he went around and he was healing people. Now, when Jesus was on the earth, did he heal them emotionally? Yes. You know, the man that was brought down, his four friends through the roof, they carried a man with stretcher on the stretcher who was totally lame, their friend who was totally paralyzed, and they came to a house where Jesus was ministering, and they were going to get Jesus to pray for him, but the house was so full of people they couldn't get near Jesus, so they had this bright idea that he could go up. There were stairs on the outside of a Jewish home, because at the night when, you know, you probably don't relate to this, nights when it was really hot and things like that, they could go out and they could climb up and they could go onto the roof, and the roof was like a flat roof with a little, you know, railing around it, and you could sleep up there and you could have things up there and you could have food being prepared up there, and, you know, it was a little working area up there. And so they said, well, we can't get inside, let's go upstairs. They carried their friend up the stairs onto the roof, and then they begin to dig the tiles out and make a hole, tie a rope around their friend and lower him on a stretcher down in front of Jesus. That would have been quite a meeting. Can you imagine that? Down he comes. Jesus looked at him, looked at his friends and said, that they got, you know what he said? He didn't say, oh, they got determination. They got some serious repair to be done. They got some serious answers to the owner of this house. He didn't say to them, well, you got some audacity. You got some bolt. You know what he said? Jesus seeing their faith. That tells me Jesus is listening to a rhythm that sometimes we don't see. We just see audacity. We see boldness. He says, I see faith. I can see a spark of faith. You really believe, and that's why he's here. And he looked at this man, and he didn't say, well, you better get up. He said, man, he said, what are you saying? And this guy is paralyzed. He said, your sins are forgiven. What? That's not what he needed. Well, yes, it was what he needed. Something was he needed healing internally before he could be healed. And he said, now take up your bed and walk. All right? And so Jesus did heal at both levels. Jesus did heal at both levels. But this passage, maybe it was, so you say, maybe this passage was just talking about that internal healing. But in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, this actual verse is quoted by Matthew. And he said, hey, this is what Jesus was doing. In Matthew 8, verse 17, let's read from verse 16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. Now, is it referring to the people that were emotionally sick? No, it's referring to people that were physically sick. And it says, now when Jesus saw, verse 17, in order that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, he himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Referring to this very passage, he said, this is a fulfillment. When Jesus was healing people, that was a sign of this. But when you go back to Isaiah, you see that it was not just for our physical body, but for our whole lives, the cross was working. So Isaiah 53 talks about the work of Jesus on the cross, and in that work, he not only healed our sin, he healed our bodies. It was the same time he was dealing with both. That's why Peter said in 1 Peter says, by his stripes you have been made whole. Is that internal health or is that physical health? Yes, it's both. Now, the reason that changed my mindset was suddenly I realized there is no list of the people God wants to heal. There's a list of all the people that were healed by Jesus on the cross. And who was that? Anyone who was a sinner. Anybody you could look in the face and say, if you will trust in Jesus, give your heart to him, repent, turn to him, trust in him, and I say this with 100% confidence, he will forgive you, he will heal your heart and make you whole, he'll make you a brand new creature. Anyone I can say that to, I can also say, and if you are sick, he will heal your body, make you whole, restore you. I have that same confidence. There's no list, but I also understand that the process of laying hold of something is not by saying, well, God, the worst sinner doesn't mean he will get the best salvation automatically. Being a really great sinner doesn't mean you get saved. What is God looking for to get a sinner saved? Faith. Yeah. Just a trusting in him so he can act. He doesn't say, who's the worst sinner? That's the person I'm going after. No, he does. He goes for the worst of sinners. You know, Paul was he used to kill Christians. He said, I'm the worst, and yet I've been made an apostle. He said, go figure. That's called grace. That's how big the grace of God is. But he didn't say God was looking for the biggest sinner and automatically said, well, you must need the greatest salvation. He said, anyone by faith. So he's not looking for the sickest person. He's just looking for someone who by faith will lay hold of it. Now, I understand this is why the clapping thing it doesn't always happen straight away. And you think about that even in salvation. You know, I was saved for many years, but then I could relate to Paul in Romans 7 where Paul says, I know what to do. I just struggle to do it sometimes. I know what's right and I know what's wrong, and I say, I will not do the wrong and I will only do the right, and then I go out and do the very thing that I said I won't do. How many have ever experienced that after you got saved? No hands. Well, praise God. You're just all perfect. But you know that's not true. You know your salvation comes, but then needs to be worked out. And the faith needs to be something that is a process and a renewing of the mind, and there's more than one step of just saying, God, forgive me. And then you have someone, and you have one person on one side, and they get saved, and they get miraculously saved. And they were terrible, and they come back the next moment, and that is glorious. And you're like, well, God, if you can do it for them, you could do it for me. And you try and hear what the beat is, and God says, well, you know, got to press in by faith, and you've got to lay hold of this, and there's a whole lot of things in Romans 6 and 8 that help you understand how to get over Romans 7. Thanks be unto God who has redeemed us, has made us whole, and we're no longer under condemnation and renewing of the mind and things like that. So, I'm saying what it does is understanding the legal right and that it is part of the covenant gives you an approach to this. I'm not saying that it will mean that everything will just turn around, but it changes your mindset. You are no longer have to approach healing. I can still remember the day. I can still remember that. Now, this is, even though I had that revelation, I can still remember the day that I was sitting at home and I had a feeling of something was, you know, like aching the shoulder or something. I was about to pray, and I suddenly came. Me and God, just, it was like a moment. I said, like, you know what, God? I no longer have to work out whether it's your will to heal me. You know, this is 20 years ago, 25 years ago. I no longer have to work out where that list is. I'm just so confident I'm on that list. We're just going to skip a step of working out whether it's your will. Because I just know it is. I don't have to say, is this your will? 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 I say, you know what? It's your will. I'm just going to stop in the next step, which is how to get that healing. Okay? Proverbs says, wisdom is the principal thing. It's so important to get God's mind how to activate and get that healing working and what to do in order to lay claim for that healing, because you don't want to get confused and think, well, you get a healing breakthrough in one area and you think, well, that's the way I'm going to get a healing in every area. You know, I spent 3 days praying and fasting and God did this, bang. And next time you're sick, you go, I know the answer. 3 days praying and fasting and God working. God said, no, you don't need to fast for this one. This is different. You need to forgive your neighbor. Whoa, I think I'll fast for 3 days. It's much better. I'm not going to forgive my neighbor. Wisdom says, oh, God, do it in the heavenlies. And he says, change your shampoo. Why? Because, the shampoo I'm using is irritating the rash on my feet. I'm praying, I'm trying to get a heavenly wisdom, and God's like, heal your neighbor or do this or just take a stand or rebuke the devil. But you don't think it's every time the devil, but sometimes it is. Sometimes the devil just needs to be told, get out of my life. This one needs to become, well, you're just standing. You need to have a praise session. You know, I remember there came a time in the body of Christ a number of years ago, I think in the 70s, and praise God, they got a revelation of praise. But one of the dangers is it was like everything is answered by praise. No, just we found an answer, but wisdom is the principal thing that says sometimes it's praising, sometimes it's forgiving, sometimes it's submitting, sometimes it's sowing a seed, sometimes it's praying for someone else's sickness, and you get your healing. But any of those things you can't make into the way. That's just one of the ways that God works. But underneath all of those is a confidence that I'm not trying to work out if I'm on the list or if you're on the list, and I'm spending effort trying to get you onto the list. Oh God, oh God, oh God, this is serious. Oh God, this is painful. Oh God, they're a good person. Oh God, this will be a witness to so many people. You know, I've worked out how God can get the world saved, and I've told him, if this person got saved and person got healed, do you a lot of favors, Lord. Very public profile, you know. If you heal them, a lot of people hear about it. And it's like, God's like, don't need your ideas. I've had people tell me, this is true, I've had someone who was very sick, and they say, I told my unsaved husband that God's going to heal me. Now God's got to heal it. You know what I heard? They're trying to put themselves on the list. They're trying to say, I don't know if I was on the list before, but now I've put God under a bind, because if I don't get healed, his reputation goes down the toilet and my husband's going to look very badly upon him. So I'm going to put God on the line, because that'll put me on the list. You know, one thing I've learned about God is he's really able to handle his reputation. He lets a whole lot of stuff happen that I wouldn't. You know, going a little, just one step sideways for a moment, but sometimes churches cover things, and they have covered things, to try and protect the reputation, because as if God will fall off his throne if it's discovered what the church is doing. You know what God says? He's the one who peels it back. He says, I'll survive. The church will lose a bit of reputation. But you know what? My church will survive. We'll come through. Yeah, we might take a hit, but he said, I can handle that. God's not so insecure that he can't have truth when there's garbage happening underneath. I've discovered when we try and hide, now I'm not saying we go out to expose, you know, the principle when Noah's sons walked in backwards to cover the nakedness of their father. I'm not saying we are ripping out and exposing, but I'm saying when we hide something for fear of what will happen in terms of reputation, God's bigger than that. He's okay. He'll survive. And so when this woman said, I've got to do it, I'm like, you know what? God's all right. He doesn't need to heal you for his reputation. He'll sort that himself. He'll be able to work with that. But you are foolish to try and use this to manipulate God to get on the list. You're trying to pull God over. Put me on the list, God. I've got you in a corner. Doesn't work like that. What you want to do is when you've ripped open the roof, God to look up and not to see you manipulating a little sneak. Not going to work. He wants to look up and say, you faith-filled little ripper. I wanted to get this healing. I was just trying to work out how I could get it to happen. I was so desiring. God wants your healing more than you do. If you feel as if you've got to put it on his list, you don't understand the heart of God. He wants, you know what, how much he wants it? He got Jesus to bear stripes for it. And if you don't understand that, you just go back and watch that movie, The Passion of the Christ, where with gruesome detail they showed what they did when they whipped him and they put stripes on Jesus' back. And with every stripe you say, he did that for me. He did that for me. He did that for me. He was bearing the stripes of my wickedness. And you're trying to say, oh God, I'm not sure you want to get me healed. I've got to try and push me on the list. He's like, look at that and then tell me I don't care. Remember the disciples on the boat in the storm? They feel like they're trying to get the water out. And they look down and Jesus is up in the end on the cushions having a sleep in the middle of a storm. And they woke him up. What did they say to him? Don't you care? How dare you sleep through my storm? Don't you care? Stupid accusation. It's all right for you. You can just walk off here. No, how stupid. They should have been, first of all, he was expecting them to use authority to bring it down. Secondly, he's like, you really think a boat's going to sink with me on it? Just relax, guys. Let the wind blow. We're not going under. Their problem was they saw it as a lack of care. He saw it as a lack of authority, a lack of faith. Oh, where's your faith? Where's your faith, guys? You don't care. He says, nothing to do with care. If I didn't care, I wouldn't have left heaven to come down. If I didn't care, I would have stayed up in heaven. I wouldn't have got my back whipped. I wouldn't have hung on a cross. I wouldn't have died a painful death. That's how much I care. Don't ever, ever accuse me of not caring and try and use that to get me on that list. See, so you've got to take that list and say, I'm on that list by what he has done. My first step is not to try and convince God to put me on the list. My first step is to say, Lord, wisdom is the principal thing. What's the pathway through? But Lord, I'm going to tell you right up front, I believe you healed me. I just need to get that. Can we all stand? Hallelujah. Healing is ours, made provision. I'm on that list. I'm on the list. Hallelujah. I want you to just make that as your declaration. I'm on the list. I'm on the list. I'm on the list for healing. I'm on the list for salvation. I'm on the list for prosperity. I'm on the list for wholeness. I'm on that list. Hallelujah. I don't have to try and put myself on the list. I'm on the list. Hallelujah. What I've got to do is make sure I am not doing things that is taking away God's ability to manifest that. That I'm not walking in unforgiveness, that I'm not walking in doubt and unbelief, that I'm not walking in a certain way. Bible says in the book of James chapter 1, if you lack wisdom, just ask, but do so without a double-minded yes and no attitude. You've got to be wholehearted in this. If you want wisdom, ask, but ask with a wholehearted trust in me. Your double-mindedness undoes things. Then it says, let not that man expect to receive anything, because the double-mindedness is undoing stuff. So there's things that we can do that undo, but it doesn't take us off the list. It just takes us off the ability to get it here and now. Do you understand the difference? He doesn't say, well, I won't heal you. He says, I want to heal you. Let's work together to getting the manifesto. I've paid for it. I've done it. The food's provided for, but you've got to lock yourself in the cabin, you fool. I got to coax you to unlock the door and get out of your cabin so you can come to where the provision is. Father, I thank you for the we are on the list. I want you to say that. And you might not just healing. I'm on God's list. What part of the list have you been battling with that you're not on? What part of the list? He can't really use me. I'm on the list of people God can use. Now, there might be some training and equipping and some healing and some, but he can use you because you're on the list of I can use you. What's your list? What's your list? I want you to make that declaration again. I'm on the list. But put a name to that list. I'm on the healing list. I flow in the gifts of the Spirit list. I bring healing. I'm on that list. I'm on a miracle. I do miracles list. I bring healing. I'm forgiven. I'm on that list. I've been made whole. I'm on that list. There is provision for me. God, I'm on the prosperity list. Hallelujah. Full of grace and power list. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. We're going to pray. I get the band, worship team just to lead us. And I'm going to give you opportunity to come. If you want us to get an agreement, we're not going to say, oh, let's see if you're on the list. We're going to come and we're going to first start off with the very first thing is, we understand you're on the list. Bible says in 1 John 5, says that if we pray and ask for anything, if we know it be His will, then we have the confidence that it'll happen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast from Breakthrough Church. We hope it helps you in your life as a follower of Jesus. If you have any questions or would like someone to talk to or to pray with, we would love to hear from you. You can find all of our contact details at breakthrough.org.au. Have a great week.